congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a day of great joy for the Church of Christ. The Lord has surely risen. He died on that cross. We all esteem him not. We all esteem him not. We thought he was rejected of God, but we failed to see that he was the beloved of God. None realized the extent of what the Lord Jesus did on that cross. The disciples were overwhelmed with grief. The women were weeping. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus buying the linen, new linen cloth and spices to bury him, to give him at least some dignity after his death. A Roman centurion realizes he was a righteous man. Crowds of Jews returned to Jerusalem with grief, overwhelmed by what had all happened. Jewish leaders, though, remembered what he had said, that he would rise from the grave. But Jesus was a deceiver, they said. They didn't believe that this was actually going to happen. They secure a Roman guard and place a Roman seal upon that grave. But none of them realized what actually had happened. None understood the deep sayings of the cross until early on that third day when everything is calm, everything is quiet. Suddenly an earthquake around the grave. Angels appear from heaven. One angel rolls that huge gravestone to the side and sits on it. Roman guards are petrified with fear and they run as fast as they can. The Prince of Life, the Son of God, awakens from the dead. His eyes are open. He unwinds the linen cloth, rolls it together and leaves it in the grave. His napkin around his head he removes and folds up and places it elsewhere in the grave. He arises from the grave. He conquered death and sin. He has completely defeated Satan. He has crushed Satan's head. He has paid the full wages of sin, and that is death. And now death no longer has a hold on him. He arose from the grave. He arose. What glories and what a beautiful message. The cornerstone of the Christian faith. He arose. How wonderful. Now sinners can be converted. Their sins can be forgiven. Heaven is opened up. A full and perfect righteousness has been established. It is all now so well for us to know, and yet it is every time again such a wonderful miracle and a wonder. He lives forever. And his people shall live with him forever in glory because he arose from the grave. Now he can declare, behold, I make all things new. Life in Christ, an open grave. He has conquered death. And he did this not for himself, but for us, his people. Nobody actually witnessed the resurrection of Christ. But he gives signs of his resurrection. He himself appears so many times. But first he reveals his resurrection by signs and through his word. What were those signs? Well, first, a rolled away stone. An empty grave. Linen cloths neatly rolled together and his head napkin lying somewhere else. Signs. But then there's also his word. The word that he has spoken before to them, that he would arise on the third day. Then there are also the prophecies of the Old Testament. Psalm 16. God would not allow his chosen one to see corruption. Hosea 6, verse 2. After 2 days will he revive us. And the third day he will raise us up. And he shall live in his sight. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Isaiah 53, he shall prolong his days. Then there is also the word spoken by the angels. He is not here. He is risen, as he has told you before. And finally, the word spoken by the risen Savior himself when his disciples realized that he has been risen. That is the hope and the comfort of the church for all ages. This massive truth that overwhelms everything that turns life upside down and that causes his people to look at this present life with different eyes. For we learn to live not for the present life, but for the life to come. That is life with Jesus. In this morning's service of Easter, we will consider the rolled away stone. This stone leads us to 1, remember God's deeds. 2, realize that Jesus is the truth. And 3, to receive salvation. The rolled away stone leads us to remember God's deeds. We are often called in Scripture to remember the deeds of the Lord. What is the greatest deed of the Lord? Can we say the resurrection of his Son from the dead? We read throughout the Old Testament that when the Lord did mighty deeds of deliverance, that his people would set up a stone to remember the deeds of the Lord. We see that, for instance, in Jacob, as he was fleeing from his brother Esau, and he laid himself down to sleep at night in the wilderness. Then the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The angels were going up and down a ladder set up that reached from earth to heaven. And at the top of the ladder, the Lord himself was standing, and he spoke to Jacob that all this land would be given to him and to his children. Jacob was so overwhelmed by this blessing that in the morning he stood up. He set up a huge stone against which he had been sleeping as a pillow, and he poured oil out over that stone as a remembrance and as a sign of devotion to the Lord. He did not want to forget that event, nor that place, and he called that place Bethel, the house of God. He wanted to remember the deeds of the Lord. We think of another occasion when the Lord had delivered Israel from the Philistines and had given deliverance to all his people. Then Samuel took a stone and he set it up and he called it Ebenezer, saying, "Hither has the Lord helped us." 1 Samuel 7 verse 12. He wanted to remember the deeds of the Lord. The people should not forget what the Lord has done. We could think of the pile of 12 stones that the Israelites set up from the bottom of the Jordan. Then every tribe of Israel placed a stone from the middle of the dry ground, and it became a large pile of 12 stones. And then the water of the Jordan flowed back and flowed all around by the huge pile of stones. There's other examples that can be given of stones set up as a commemoration to remember the deeds of the Lord. A gray stone rolled away, as we see this morning. There's an angel sitting on top of it to guard the stone that no one would roll it back again. None can undo what the Lord has done. That stone is a sign of the most important event that ever happened here on earth. It is a sign of our resurrected Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ came up from the dead. It was behind this stone that the body of the Lord Jesus rested from his work and merited full salvation for all sinners. Until the earth was shaken and the angels came down and rolled away that stone, God spoke to his Son, "My Son shall rise from the grave." And then it happened. The sign of his glorious resurrection It's seen in the stone. Three of the Gospels mention this rolling away. It is a sign of God's faithfulness. This stone is a continual Ebenezer to the church. There the church remembers the demonstration of God's power. A power far, far greater than the power shown in delivering Israel from the Philistines. We see here in this gravestone our Ebenezer. We shall remember the deeds of our Lord. Satan, hell, death, and sin are the arch enemies of God's people. They have been defeated. On Calvary, they have had to let go of their prey, and they themselves were struck with a mortal blow. When Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished," all powers were united on Calvary against God and His anointed. None were with Him. The surety trod the winepress of the wrath of God alone. All powers were against Him. The devil and all his demons, mankind, death and hell were all united against Christ that day. And what did they gain? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The deceit, the injustice let loose against Christ availed nothing. The temptations of the evil one had no effect on Him. The enemies of Christ have now been put to shame. Roman legionaries ran away. Priests and Pharisees had to make up a lie to try to cover up the deeds of Christ. But the truth is that Christ is risen from the grave. The ropes that were bound have bound Him are torn to shreds. The spikes that had fastened Him to that cross have been pulled out. The Roman seal had been broken. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. That rolled away stone is a sign to remember God's faithfulness through His Son. It seemed to be on Good Friday that God would have nothing to do anymore with His Son. It appeared to be on the Sabbath during which Christ was in the grave that God had forsaken Him. But the reality is so different. When the suffering man of sorrows bowed his head and yielded up his spirit, heaven received him. God crowned him with honor and glory. Likewise, it seems as if God had forgotten those who were expecting the consolation of Israel. But He remembered them. He was going to dry their tears. And instead of sorrow, He would give them joy unspeakable. It seemed as if the promises of God's salvation were all cast to the ground and would not see fulfillment. But the Lord remembered His promises, and He fulfilled His word of salvation when He commanded the angels to roll away that stone. That stone preaches God's faithfulness. He arose from the dead. That is seen in the sign of the rolled away stone. You and I are called to remember and not to forget. We look around us and we see the power of death. We are inclined to forget. The rolled away stone is for us to remember and realize that the Lord is truly risen. Then we will see the corruption of life, our sinful condition, and the guilt can press, then remember that He has overcome sin and death and the devil. There is redemption for us poor sinners who flee to Him for grace. In our second point, the rolled away stone is also a sign to realize that Jesus is the truth. The stone is rolled away from the tomb. Imagine again what happened, Matthew 27, verse 66. So the Jews went and made the tombs sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. If that would have been the end of the Gospel of Matthew, then there would be no hope. Then the Savior would have been like a shining star that for a while had beauty, but then had died and vanished in the storms of Good Friday. Then there would have been some interesting statements passed on from this Jesus of Nazareth, but these words would have contained a mixture of truth and vanity. For then, as he said several times, that he would arise from the dead. It would have been proven to be a great error. Then we could at the most have praised him as a wise teacher who said good things and whose conduct would have been praiseworthy. But in no way would he have been the truth, nor would he then be the resurrection. Never could he be the savior from sin and death, because he himself would have become a victim of sin and the prey of death. If that stone had not been rolled away from the grave, and Jesus would not have been risen, then what could we make of his words that he said when he said, "It is finished"? But what guarantees us that this word is the truth? There have been so many who have made startling statements, and they have followers. What tells us that this word, "It is finished," is indeed true? He said that he was the good shepherd, and that the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But what guarantee do his sheep have that indeed protection and save the sheep in his death? He is the Lamb of God that carries away the sin of the world. But how does his church know for sure that he is the Lamb of God, and that his blood does actually cleanse us from all our sin? What guarantee do sinners have who trust in Jesus that their sins will never more be testifying against them? What shows us that his sacrifice was accepted in heaven? The answer to all these questions lies in this stone being rolled away. Without human hands, this stone was rolled away. That is, this is God's given sign of the reality of the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ and his amen to the work of his Son. The sacrifice of his Son was accepted by God, for he raised him from the dead. His resurrection is the evidence of his victory. It shows that he is our Savior. His blood does cleanse us from all our sin. He is our good shepherd. The whole of the gospel is validated by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. This was all symbolized by the stone that is rolled away. That rolled away stone is the completion of the meriting work of Christ here on earth. He arose from the grave. His resurrection is the completion of the work of reconciliation performed in the Old Testament. Think of Moses. He went up into the mountain, and on the mountaintop there was lightning bolts and thunderclaps. There was darkness and a cloud. Moses went there as a mediator between God and his people. He came back with the words, "God is willing to be your God, and you are chosen as his people. God is willing to be gracious." We can also think of the high priest who went once every year into the Holy of Holies. It was dark there. He had to enter in with blood, and there he prayed for the people. He would return from that dark, most holy place, and he would proclaim, "There is forgiveness with the Lord." Then we see here the greater than Moses, the only high priest, returning from the thunder and the lightning of Calvary. He underwent the wrath of God, the full wrath of God. He had entered into the Holy of Holies of his suffering. He had been in darkness of God's judgment. And now He returns and declares there is forgiveness and there is reconciliation with God. Though through my blood, the blood of the cross is a sufficient payment for all sin. And God is willing to be gracious. And he is so gracious. The fierceness of his wrath is put away for all those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ, there is life and there is light. There is forgiveness and full satisfaction for all our sins. And that was demonstrated in his resurrection. The rolled away stone is a sign of forgiveness of the sins and the full redemption in Christ. He is the truth. He is the Savior. And he arose. This is the fulfillment of Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Here we see the stone symbolized in a rolled away stone of his grave. All the apostles have built their preaching upon Christ, this cornerstone. This rolled away stone became the foundation of all their preaching. The rest of the New Testament refers continually to this resurrection. All our catechizing, all pastoral work lies in this rolled away stone. For Jesus is surely risen. That is why preaching comes with power and might. The church confesses Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and he was raised for our justification. The Lord Jesus is the truth. We confess with the Apostles' Creed that he was crucified, dead and buried, and he descended into hell. But on the third day he arose from the grave. And that is why Jesus is the truth. All others who came before him were not the truth, because they died and they remained dead. Only Jesus is the truth. He preached the truth and is the truth because he arose from the grave. This society does not want to have one main truth. Everything is called truth, but there is only one truth. That is, per definition, the Lord Jesus is truth because he arose from the dead. This is the firm confession of the church, and it must maintain. Christ is the only way. He is the only Savior. He is unique because he arose from the grave. Do you know him? Do you love him? Who is the truth? There is salvation in none other but him. That is shown further in our final thought, which is this morning. The rolled away stone leads us to receive salvation. The rolled away stone of Christ is a sign of his resurrection. His resurrection leads sinners to receive salvation. That is what we find recorded in Romans 6, verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in his likeness be like him in his resurrection. Therefore is an analogy between Christ and his people. They learn to die with him. They learn also to rise with him. Their old man is also crucified with Christ. That happened objectively when Christ was nailed to the cross. He took all his people along with him on that cross into death. He died for them that they died with him. The Lord Jesus arose from the grave. And then also he took all his people with him. He arose for their justification. This is objective truth. But this objective truth is applied subjectively. Then his death is applied to when his death is applied to your heart and to your soul. And likewise, his resurrection is applied to your soul and heart. This happens through the work of the Holy Spirit in the way of regeneration and conversion. Then the sinner is unconverted in his sin. And when he grieves because of these sins, he cries out to God for mercy. Then you can see that you cannot stand before a three times holy God. Then you can see that you must die. You must die to yourself. My old man within me must be put to death. I need to rise in a new life of obedience to my Lord. It is the same Spirit who forms in me a new man after the image of Christ. And then it counts Christ living in me. This glorious change is a principle worked in the soul in regeneration. When new life is infused into a soul. But we must also say that this new life is also a process of daily dying to our own will. And daily rising up according to the will of Christ. God's people continue to die in their old nature till their last breath. Then finally, that old nature is dead for good. Then it counts that day of one's death is better than a day of one's birth. In practice, God's people do not know it of it continually dying and steadily growing in Christ. But there is much opposition, and there is much that rises up against the Lord's people. So because of this struggle and the old nature, they have periods of stagnation and even regress instead of progress. Then it can be a period of backsliding, and it can even seem as if there was never a good work started in our soul. Yet, for all God's people, there is still a difference between their past life and their present life. They have been made new in Christ. There is a fundamental difference. They fall in sin, but they cannot live in it. The difference is that they have found the Redeemer, the risen Christ. He has become their Savior, the risen Lord. They used to be on their way to hell, but now they have been placed on the way to heaven. Often a child of God will not even dare to say that he is on the way to heaven because he still sees so much evil within himself rising up against the Lord. They are ashamed of their self, and were it not for the Spirit of Truth who shows them their share in Christ, they would give up all hope. They see that they were still under the care and payment of their Savior. They have been redeemed by Christ. Their hope is upon Him alone. Their desire goes out to Him. Do you know these things? Is His resurrection a reality in your life? We need to be in Christ. He washes us from all our sins. He renews by the power of His resurrection. He delivers from the violence of death. And He causes dead bodies to be renewed. He is the Savior. Do you know Him? And do you trust Him? Have you come to Him? Do you share in His saving work? He arose with His hands full of truth and grace. He gives willingly to poor sinners to flee to Him. God's people, you have become a pilgrim on your way to Zion. And you shall become a singer in Zion. That is because the Prince of Easter declares to you, John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That is why John has written in Revelation 14:13, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, Paul could write 1 Corinthians 15:57, But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter could write too in 1 Peter 1:5, Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last day. David said in Psalm 16:8-11, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Thou wilt show me the path to life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there is pleasures forevermore. That rolled away stone is a sign. It is a guarantee of salvation for all of God's children. But that rolled away stone also preaches that there is salvation and there is only life exclusively in Christ. There is also those who resist Christ. But then this stone will be for you a rock of offense. It will crush you if you refuse to bow to this Savior. He himself says in Matthew 21:44, that whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. What is needed is that you learn to lay off your enmity and realize that salvation is only received through this risen Savior. Blessed when you learn to tremble for him and for his word. Jesus teaches that through his word and his spirit, there is resurrecting hope for all who trust in him, for all who bow for him and recognize him as their chief delight and their king, their savior. They shall live because he lives, and they shall live with him forever because he arose from the grave.